We had our men's business meeting this afternoon. It was very profitable. We continue to encourage any of our men who would like to join us, please do so. The more input we get, the easier it is for us to come to our decisions. But several things came up in the meeting, and actually a few other things. I misspoke when I gave Mike the announcement about Linda Lewis. It did not happen at CVS. I saw Amy at CVS, and that's where I heard about it. I think they were at Amy's house, but I'm not sure. Several other things have come up, and then maybe one or two other things. We are still very diligently trying to coordinate maybe a 10, 11, 12 or so week effort where all the classes are going to be studying the same material. Keith has found 10 topics that are wonderful. We added one more tonight. Actually, Mike has some videos and maybe some other information that we would be able to get some notes for those classes. But hopefully, didn't we say about March? About March, we're going to coordinate 10, 12, 15 or so classes on Sunday morning. And the classes will meet on that subject. The sermon, in turn, will be on that subject. And some of us have seen that happen in other congregations, and it works wonderfully. So please be encouraging Keith and Mike as they continue to work on the material. Please encourage yourself to be excited about this. I really, really, really hope that this takes place, and I believe that it will, probably beginning around March. Also, we have some other thoughts about the new year. Right now, we have a good influx of some new, younger adults. Colton is back. I asked Colton today if he's going back for his doctorate degree. He said, I'll never take another class. So we're not worried about that. But Colton is here. Matthew was here with his new bride. Others, we've got Zachary and Brant and other young people. We would like to stimulate them to get them more and more involved in our Bible class program, in our activities, and things like that. Brethren, we as a congregation are not getting any younger. We're going to need those young men and young ladies to fill in the very near future. So we're looking at that. We've already got a teacher who has volunteered to take that class. He's going to work up some material. We're going to announce it in the congregation. We're going to announce it outside the congregation. And hopefully a few individuals, maybe a few couples, will come and take advantage of that class also. And we're really, really looking forward to that also. Now, we've run into a problem with our pantry / benevolent effort. Nancy and Virgie have worked diligently. They're up here every Thursday keeping that pantry well organized. And I won't say any names, but we have brethren and single men that bring groceries in almost every week, at least every month. So it's not the idea that we're running out of groceries. It's just difficult. And let me very briefly tell you what happened a couple of weeks ago. A lady had called. She asked for benevolent help. She came. Nancy and Virgie had a sack. I gave her the sack. She, and there was nothing planned about this, she asked if we had some shampoo and soap and other things like that. And I said, we do, but it's back in the back. If you don't mind going with me to the back, we'll get that. She didn't mind. I don't really feel comfortable walking to the back with a lady that I don't know. That's the world in which we live. That was all right. We made it very quickly, but when I got back into the office, two men were standing in my office waiting for benevolence also. And though I didn't initially feel anything, I thought they could have all planned that. They could have wiped us out. I could see the computer going out the front door and all of that. After much discussion, it was suggested that we keep that door locked. So please, when you come up here, and you've seen my car here, so if you come up here and my car is here, don't just assume I'm not here if the door is locked. We're going to make mention of that doorbell and think, I think Barry took it upon himself to make it more pronounced. Didn't you say you would take care of that? To make it more pronounced, we're going to have them come on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 10:30 to meet with the benevolence committee. We'll ask them to stay for class and stay for worship, and then they'll meet with them. We're going to ask them to come back in that sign on Wednesday night, join us for Bible class, and then do that. If someone is really in need, they'll be willing to do that. And this also gives us an opportunity to reach out to them also. Now, I also stated, and I know many of you have been up here when people have come by that really needed help, and it was just obvious they needed help. I know several of you have just reached into your pocket and given them some money. We will continue doing that, but for the most part, we're going to make sure the benevolence is only taken care of by the benevolent committee, and that is going to be on Sundays and Wednesday nights, and so the door will be locked during the day. We keep it locked when we're in here anyway, and we have a greeter, either Barry or Clint, in the back anyway, but please be understanding in that. Also, some of you might have noticed, let me say this first. New Year's Eve falls on a Tuesday. I was asked, would we like to have a fellowship on that Tuesday? I said, that sounds great to me, but I don't want to be the one to make that decision. So would we get a legitimate turnout that Tuesday evening? I'm not going to make it to midnight, but I'll stay here for a long time. So let's just plan on having a game night, can we call it that, on Tuesday. We can sleep in Wednesday morning, or at least some can sleep in Wednesday morning, and some can't. But let's plan on that, and I'll get up with Margaret. We'll have that announced. That's just a few weeks away. We'll also have a congregational devo, the Wednesday before Christmas, or Christmas actually, and then the Wednesday after New Year's, we'll have a devo then. And there is 5 Sundays in December. Would you like to just forego our 5th Sunday night singing, or should we go ahead and have our 5th Sunday night singing? Okay, we'll just go ahead and have our 5th Sunday night singing as we normally do. I don't think anyone noticed, but Sherry videoed our services this morning, or at least the preaching part of our services. It was not because I'm an arrogant guy, because I am not. But in the future, Barry and I had already talked about this. Barry will be able to figure it out, trust me. If he needs any help, he can get Kidron and Caleb to help him. They'll get it figured out. We'd like to put the videos on our webpage. An awful lot of congregations are doing that. Audio is last year. We need to go ahead and move up with technology. So hopefully within a period of time, we'll have the technology set up so that we can put our services, maybe even all of our services, but at least the preaching part to begin with. And if we're sick or out of town on a Sunday, we can still tune in. Krista's parents in Canada turn into our audio. They'll certainly love to turn into our video. I do hope that is going to work out also. I have one more announcement. Can any of our men who were there remember something that I forgot to mention? Okay. I'm taking Linda to McDonald's after church tonight. If you would like to show up, please do. We're going to stick it on Dutch. It's going to be Dutch's treat tonight. But if you would like to be there, please do so. When we send a letter to someone, we expect them to receive it. We know sometimes they don't, but we expect them to receive it. I sent my granddaughter's Christmas card the other day, and I asked Linda, do you think it'll make it? You know, we realize that. Or if we send somebody an email, we expect them to receive it. We expect them to answer it. Sometimes it doesn't go through. Our Gmail is happening right now. Sometimes it doesn't go through, but we expect it to. When we make a phone call, When we knock on somebody's door, well, you know where I'm going with this. Now I want to introduce our text. I would imagine, having said what I said, a lot of you are thinking, Matthew 7:7. He that asks shall receive. He that seeks will find. He that knocks on the door of opportunity, the door will be open. Actually, I love that passage of Scripture, but we're going to be using a passage in the Old Testament that really is even more direct for the direction I want to take our lesson tonight. So if you have your device, or if you have your Old Testament, open to Isaiah 65, verse 24. Isaiah 65, verse 24. And I'm going to pause just a moment because I want everyone to turn to that passage if you have it. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Listen closely. God, through Isaiah, says, "It shall come to pass that before they call," that's the Israelites, "it will come to pass that even before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking," I think he's talking about prayer, "while they're still saying their prayers, I will hear." Now, did you notice what he said? And only God can say this. Even before we pray, he's already answering our prayer. Even before we speak to him in prayer, he already knows the subject matter of our prayer. And one of the most reassuring passages in all of the New Testament is in Romans chapter 8, where Paul is writing about difficulty in prayer. And I know all of us have been there. I've had things on my heart and my mind, and I want to pray to God about it, and the words just fail me. Paul assures us, God assures us, that the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, will catch up with our spirit, and he will make those, I don't like the King James, groanings, but he will make sure that we have the confidence that God will hear and respond to our prayer. But in this passage, it says, even before we speak, God already knows what's on our heart. God will answer. Now, brethren, I know I speak for all of us. I have had prayer concerns in times past, and I pray earnestly, and I try to pray effectually and effectively, and God does not answer the way I ask him to. All of us have. Does that mean that God did not hear my prayer? No. Does that mean that God does not love me or the person for which I am praying? No, absolutely not. It just means that God knows best. And also from that 8th chapter of Romans, we know that everything will work out for our good as long as we love his appearing. As long as we give ourselves to him. So there is a promise given here, a promise concerning prayer. Off and on for the last several Sunday nights, we've looked at Bible basics. I believe this will probably be the last one, at least that I stylize that way. But what can be more basic to us as Christians than prayer? Nothing. Nothing can be more basic. And I know you've already outthought me. You're already probably turning to James chapter 5. James is going to talk about Isaiah and tell us that if we want to be effectual and effective in our prayers, we need to pray this way. So open now to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let's begin with the most obvious. In James chapter 5, James is using as his illustration the prophet Elijah. I might have said Isaiah a moment ago. It's Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in 1 Kings chapter 18, we find the incident that caused James to use Elijah as his example. The king of Judah, the king over God's people at that time, was Ahab. Now, if you're not familiar with Ahab, he was a bad guy. And his wife was even worse. Her name was Jezebel. And God wanted to get the people's attention. So God determined he's going to send a drought. Now, credit for this drought was given to Elijah, but the drought was caused by God. Let me read the first verse of chapter 17. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, this is the bad king of Judah, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except by my word. Now, he's referring to God, but it's coming out of Elijah's mouth. So Elijah is given credit for this. And 3 years pass. Now turn the page. We're in chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Which God does. He allows it to rain. Now that's what James is referencing in James 5, verse 17. He says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He's just like us. He wanted to please God with all of his heart. He did not want to displease God in any way. That has to be our Christian nature. Elijah was just like that. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, somewhere I deliberately got the cart before the horse. Because before James uses Elijah as his example, he says, confess your trespasses, or various versions, confess your faults or your weaknesses to one another and pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Who was James talking about? He's talking about Elijah. Now, brethren, listen very closely. I know you will agree, but you might need to think about this. You and I can be just as effectual, just as we can have our prayers answered just like Elijah. We have to be effective or effectual in our prayer life. That's what it takes. Well, let me ask it that way. What does it take? It takes faith. When Elijah told King Ahab it's not going to rain, Elijah knew he could put his umbrella away. And when God told him, go present yourself to the king again, and I will allow it to rain, he took his umbrella with him. That's what praying in faith means. Therefore, we should never pray for something that we really don't want. But if we pray for it, we need to expect God to answer. Now let's turn our attention to Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, we have the story that we commonly call the triumphal entry. Now, admittedly, we get a little different slant here in Mark than we do in the other gospel accounts, but it all matches perfectly. Okay, Jesus enters the city. People have come with him. They cut down the palm fronds. They lay even their outer garments on the road. He comes riding into Jerusalem, and they say, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he. Blessed is Jesus who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, the day passes, and it's almost nighttime. And so Jesus takes the disciples back to Bethany. I think it was only 3, 4, or 5 miles to Bethany. He takes them back to Bethany, and they spend the night there. We're now down to verse 12. Now, the next day, when they had come from Bethany, they're going back to Jerusalem, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. No figs. He found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now, it's necessary for the Spirit to remind Mark to tell us that the disciples heard it. Because Jesus knew figs. He knew if there was or was not going to be figs on that tree. He was teaching a lesson to his disciples, and he's teaching a lesson to us. I heard one time, believe it or not, you hear some of the strangest things. I heard one time a man say, therefore we should never eat figs. No, that's not Jesus's point. It had nothing to do with figs. It had all to do with a lesson that he wanted to teach. And the disciples heard it. So they go to Jerusalem. Jesus casts out the money changers. Then that night they go back to Bethany, spend the night, and the very next day, in fact, let me read from verse 21. The very next day they pass by that same fig tree, and it was dead. Jesus had cursed the fig tree. It was dead. Verse 21, and Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, let's move from cutting down a simple fig tree, let's move to moving mountains. You can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. If they did not doubt in their heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Again, the lesson had nothing to do with figs, whether they're in season or out of season. It was to teach the disciples a lesson. And now 2,000 years later, to teach us a lesson. That, brethren, we've got to be people of faith. We've got to be people of faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And without faith, the Hebrew penman says, it's impossible to please God. Because we have to believe, first of all, that God is God. And second of all, we have to believe that God can do what he says he's going to do. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or a mutual amen. But we all believe in God. And we believe that God, we know that God can do what he wants to do. Nothing can stop him. And if we want to pray effectually, if we want to pray effectively, we have to pray in faith. This is the kind of faith that Jesus talked about in Mark 10, verse 27. With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. What's the key? It's faith. Without faith, we can't move mountains. Without faith, we can't please God. Mark 10, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. If we pray for rain and our prayer is in faith, take the umbrella. Now, God might have other plans. We understand that. We're not dictating policy to God, but we're asking God to hear our prayers. Brethren, we should never pray for something and not expect it to happen. We should desire that for which we are praying. This word desire is a very interesting word. It means to ask for, but even more than that, it means to beg for, or to call for. It's a very impassioned word. Let me read a few verses. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Psalm 107:9, for the Lord satisfies the longing soul and fills the soul with gladness. Proverbs 10:24, the desire of the righteous will be granted. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, that's the same word, our desire, we will receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Finally, 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Does that mean God is going to answer our prayers exactly as we ask? Maybe yes, but maybe no. God knows best. You know, if God answered all our prayers the way we want him to, no one would ever die. That would be wonderful for a while, but we know it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. However, there's something else we need to remember. We also have to believe that which we pray. Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them, "If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe." This word believe is another very, very interesting word. It's more than just assent. You know, I believe that Bangladesh exists. I have no desire to go there, but I believe that it exists. This belief, though, is to be persuaded. It's to credit, to place confidence in that which we believe. None of us have seen heaven, but we believe it's there. More than that, we know that it's there. None of us have seen Jesus with our own eyes, but we believe he was and is and will be. We know that he will be. And if we do believe, we will receive our prayer request. Receive means to take or to lay hold on. And again, faith is what allows us to see with eyes not these, but with the eyes of our faith, and see that God can and will do the things he says that he can and will do. So Jesus has promised that God will consider our prayers. He will answer our prayers, not always the way we want him to, but I think we would be surprised how many times he does answer our prayers exactly the way we want him to. But our prayers have to be in harmony with his will. We can't pray for somebody to live 1,000 years. That's not the way it works today. Our prayers must be in harmony with his will. But this enables our faith to receive the answers that God gives. God is always ready to hear. He's always ready to respond, but he expects us to accept the response that he gives in faith. It's all depending on faith. But please remember, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Barry has announced the song of invitation. If anyone needs to respond for baptism or for any other reason, won't you take advantage of that invitation by responding as we stand together and as we sing?